The study of the day is about choices or making choices, and I named it the path of your own choices. I don't know how well you can tell, but there's a little two-rut road goes off this way, and there's one goes that way, and there's another one goes this way, and you can't tell necessarily where they lead, but life is a path of our own choices. There are things that happen to us in life that we don't choose. There are bad things that happen that we don't plan or choose, and that may put us down a certain path, but most typically our choices are going to determine where we go. And the main idea or the main thought of the study is that you need to have vision that's further than just the end of your nose. We need to have vision for eternity and not just vision for what's here today. A few years ago, Brother Craig Keel and I were going fishing. We got to doing that every fall. I took my RV. We went to Lake Warrica over there in Oklahoma. And I think I know now the reason that the map on your phone is a woman's voice is because usually she gives bad directions. And we got down in a place that no RV should ever be. We were down. It turned into a pig trail. Nowhere to turn around. It was dark. And finally, we just kept going, and down there, there was a little turn into somebody's cow pasture, and I was able to back my RV up, and I thought, you know, I would have never made this choice to come down this road if I had known. And we say a lot in life, if I had that to do over again, well, you know, we really don't. What we do is turn around and make a different choice and choose a different path. And that's just how life is. It's made up of choice after choice. In the book of Psalms chapter 25 and verse 12, he says, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose." Choosing and making good choices is something that we learn. And the way that we learn that, the best way to learn that, is to pay attention. To read God's word and study God's word on how to make a decision and what kind of choices should be made, because the Bible is just full of stories of people that lived a long time ago, and some of them made wonderful choices and some of them just made really bad choices. And as you look at your life and as I look at my life, I look at things and I go, I just wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have chosen that. But if we fear the Lord, we're not going to think about just what's going to end up happening today. We need to think about what's going to be happening years from now. And above all that, we need to think about what's going to happen ultimately in eternity. We make choices every day. And every one of those choices has some effect. It may be very small. Some of those choices we make are very profound and have very far-reaching impacts, and they put us on a path. They place us in a direction down the road. So we make those choices, and the choices that you have made have taken you on a path from birth to where you are today and lead ultimately to eternity. And that's true for every person in every church wherever they are today, or people who are not in church today, wherever they are, or people that are in prison, or people who are strung out on dope and suffering in a multitude of ways, the choices that you have made have led you down a path to where you are. And you live in a world, and I live in a world today, where people want to say, well, it was what my parents did. It was abuse, it was misuse, it was dysfunction, all those things play in some way, but ultimately you make the choices and they lead you down a path that you choose. There's a lot of decisions to be made, aren't there? You know what? Sometimes they're hard. Sometimes the choices are really difficult to make. Sometimes we go to people for help and say, what should I do? Or how should I choose? Sometimes my kids come to me and say, what should I do? And sometimes I tell them very straight, you'll do this. Other times they come to me and they say, help me decide, what should I do? And I say, I can't decide. You have to choose. It's your life. It's your choice. And we all make those choices. And where will they lead? And that's the thing I want you to think about today. A choice right back here when you're young is going to lead you in a path. A choice that's made young may have a profound impact. So seek wisdom when you're young, because when you get way up here or down here, it's harder to turn all the way around and get back down this road. Old folks make bad choices too. I make choices that I have to stop and turn around and go, I shouldn't have done that. I didn't really want to be here. And I find myself in a place like this right here. But ultimately, all choices lead to hell or heaven. That's where they lead. And I've gone to many cemeteries. I've been to lots of funerals. I've gone out there and I've heard lots of preachers say, well, this is where this person's life ended. That's not true. The body may end there. It may wait for a while there, but eternity is the end of the road. Heaven or hell is the end. And those choices that you make today are what's going to determine where we spend eternity. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15, he said, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Life is a long, long journey. It's so long, in fact, that we sometimes lose ourselves in the moment. And I'll ask you what path you're going to choose. God said this to children of Israel. You know, when he brought them to the promised land and they went into the promised land, they were so happy about that. They had longed for the promised land for so long. They had wandered in the wilderness there. And then when they go into that land, he tells them this, I've set before you life and good, and I've also set before you death and evil, and there's choices to be made. But he warned those folks, he said, if you'll choose good and you'll do what I've asked you to do, you're going to have blessings. But he said, if you make choices to disobey and you make choices to not serve me, he said, it's going to be bad. It's going to be evil. In fact, he eventually tells them, he said, you're going to flee if a dog licks you. You'll flee. If a leaf falls and hit the ground, you'll flee. And I've always been puzzled about the children of Israel, because I read about, if you remember, I read about a land that flowed with milk and honey. I remember reading as a child about two men carrying a cluster of grapes. You remember that? This wonderful land and all the fruitfulness of the land. And just when they got close to it, one of the tribes said, oh, just let us live here because it's good cattle country. And they hadn't even crossed the Jordan yet. And the Jordan was a place, beyond the Jordan was the land that was promised, a wonderful land with everything that they were going to need and everything that they were going to have. Now I want to ask you a question. When you see a picture today of the Holy Land, what do you see? Do you see green hills? No. Do you see two men carrying a cluster of grapes? No. When you see pictures of the Holy Land, I'll tell you what you see. You see rocks. And you see desert, don't you? And you go, well, why is this the promised land? Why did God promise them a place like this? Well, I'm going to tell you what. It's all changed. It's changed. It's turned into a desert. And I'm going to tell you why. It's not global warming. It is climate change. It's not global warming. It's because God withdrew his blessings. He said, if you're not going to follow me, I've set before you two choices, life and good and death and evil. And they made a choice that led to evil. They chose to not serve God and not make good choices and wise choices. And I want to tell you today, before you is life and good if you make wise choices, and is death and evil if you don't make wise choices. Look at a few other people along the way. Abraham and Lot. In the book of Genesis chapter 13, beginning in verse 2, he says, Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, under the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray, between thee and between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and my herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. He looked up, didn't he? He made a choice. Where can I go? If I'm not going to stay here with you and I get to go anywhere I want to go, where do I need to go? And so he makes a choice that's very immediate in its fashion and in its nature. What will help me today? And what's going to help him today is green grass. And so he sees the green grass and he says, that's where I'll go. And his mistake was not thinking a little more long term. He thought about the grass. His herds needed grass. There it is. That helps me today. But he didn't think about the long term. He didn't think about the effect of those people. He didn't think about whether or not they were godly. He didn't think about how that would affect his family and his home. He didn't think about what that was going to do to his children or cause him to lose that and lose his wife and lose his family and lose his herds. Do you think if he had known that he'd lose everything, he'd have said, I'm going to go there? Of course not. I'll guarantee you, he said, if I had that to do over again, I wouldn't go to Sodom. He didn't have it to do over again. And it was a choice that was very faithful unto him. In the book of Matthew chapter 7 in verse 13 and 14, he says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. It's easy to make a bad choice. You young people, listen to me. It's easy to make a bad choice, and it's awful hard to fix it. And he goes on to say this in verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The godly way has got to be sought after. The narrow path to life has got a small opening. And you got to look for it. You've got to want that. You've got to seek that. And when you find that little opening, you better go in there. Because everybody's going to go down the broad path. Mary and Martha. The book of Luke chapter 10 verse 38. It came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. When I was reading this, I'm familiar with the story and the kind of basically what happens. Martha and Mary are sisters. Jesus comes there. Martha's worried about the house. She's worried about the meal. She's worried about hospitality. She takes that very seriously, obviously. And Mary is just sitting there oblivious to all that, oblivious to all those responsibilities and those things. But I want you to notice what she said to Jesus. Martha says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Jesus, don't you care that the situation I'm in? Because I'm having to do all this work and I have all these things that I've got to worry about and do, and she's not helping me." She says, "Tell her to help me. Tell her to come and help me." And what has happened is she has got so caught up in the moment and what's happening at the moment that she's made a choice without even realizing she made a choice. And I've told my kids several times, if you decide to do nothing, that's a choice. She was so worried about what was happening, she's not looking down the road to see eternity. And eternity, as Jesus says, was to pay attention to the words that were being taught. Mary chose a good thing. A good thing. And so sometimes decisions are not so grand in nature. They're not so earth-shattering in nature, but a small thing like choosing to listen to the Word of God, a small thing like making a choice to hear God's Word may have a profound impact on your path of life. Your choices lead you every day. And to make the choice every day to listen to Jesus and to study His Word is going to be a choice that has an effect on your path every day. And so sometimes we need to evaluate. Sometimes we need to evaluate and back up a little bit and reset. Peter and Andrew. The book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 18 and 20. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. I always thought it seemed very anticlimactic. It seemed like a very strange thing. Jesus just came walking by and said, "Follow me." And they dropped it and said, "Well, all right, here we go." That's a profound choice. That was a choice that's going to affect their families and their jobs and everything that they did. They stopped what they were doing. They dropped their nets and they went and followed the Lord. What did it cost them financially? You think their wives or children or families were a little bit upset? I mean, there's been a few times in my life I've got home from meeting. I'll tell my wife, "I just got a phone call. I've got to go," and she'll go, "Oh, again?" It's hard when we're gone. It's hard on those people. They dropped everything. They made a choice that was enormous in its scope. Why did they do that? Because they looked down the road. They could see down the road of time that this is more important than just a few wages. This is more important than making money fishing for a couple of years. Do you know some choices are that way? We see it all the time. People make a choice. They take a job. They move their family to some corner of the world because they're going to make $10,000 more or $20,000 more. And it has a devastating impact on their family. But these guys weren't so concerned, evidently, with the money, because they dropped it all to follow the Lord. That was a good choice. Now think about the rich young ruler. Matthew 19, verse 21, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He made a choice that day. He had come to Jesus and said, "Good master, what can I do to have eternal life? I want to go to heaven. What should I do? Help me make a choice. And so Jesus laid it out for him. Sell what you have and give to the poor and follow me and you'll go to heaven. And he goes, well, I'll tell you something. When Jesus gives you the advice about a decision, you better take the advice. You ought to use that for your choice. He couldn't see past the possessions, could he? He could see about what he had in his hand. He couldn't see about the possession of eternity. He couldn't look down the road and think about the path it was going to take him on. I want you to go back to Peter and Andrew just for a minute. They said in Luke 18, verse 28, Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed you. They looked past it. They look past the possessions and those kind of things. We've left everything to follow you. They made a really good choice. The rich young ruler couldn't do it. And I want to tell you, his choice put him on a different path. And it will you too. Felix, in the book of Acts chapter 24, beginning in verse 24. And after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, I want you to notice this little phrase right here. He sent for Paul. And heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Felix had been hearing about Christianity. Felix was a man with authority. And he had been hearing about this. He had been hearing about Paul and all the things going on. He's curious about that. He wants to know. Maybe he's religious in some way. So he goes to the trouble to send for Paul. Send me Paul. I want to talk to you. And so that's what they do. They have a discussion. In verse 25, as he reasons of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Think about those three things. How you're living today and the kind of choices that you're making and the world that lays down the road. The path you're on, Felix. Where does it lead? It leads to judgment to come. And what did he do? He trembled. Why did he do that? Because he's on the wrong path. Are you? He's on the wrong road. He's made the choices. He's going the wrong way. And he's doing the wrong thing. And he trembles. And he says this, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. Is that a good choice? We'll do it later. I do that all the time. There are some things I'm going to do later. You know, one thing I've been going to do later for about 2 years is clean out my garage. I've just been going to do it later. And it's just got deeper and deeper and deeper in there. And I finally broke down and I cleaned it out. Later finally came. And I filled up the dumpster and I did it very strategically on Thursday. Because the dumpster truck comes on Thursday. And I didn't want to fill it up where I couldn't even put anything else in it. So I very strategically went out there Thursday morning and I filled that dumpster up. And guess who didn't come? The dumpster truck didn't come. I had a lot of time to clean that out. I've had a lot of time to make my choices and decisions. Felix had time. Could he have made a change that day? Yes. He could have made a change. He could have turned around his life. He could have made a good choice. It gets harder, I believe. It must get harder. The farther down the road to hell you go, the harder it must be to turn around. Because he's concerned, evidently, about his life. He sent for Paul. He's told about Christ. He's told about judgment to come. He's told about righteousness and self-control. He understands what he's been told. Felix, you're in trouble. You're on the wrong path. Well, I'll call for you later. And I don't know. We don't read about him again. It says in the next verse or two that after a little while there, he didn't call for Paul. I don't know after that. You know what that teaches me about your choices? You better make them today. You need to decide today whether you want heaven or hell. So you think you'll make that choice in a year or 2 years or 5 years. But I'll tell you what, you may be in the cemetery in a year. Young or old. Saul, Acts chapter 7 verse 58, the Bible says of Stephen, they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Was that a good choice or a bad choice for Saul? I've had people say, well, he really didn't take sides. And there are people in this world today who want to be that way. They don't want to take sides. I don't want to take a side on religion. I don't take sides on politics. I don't take a side on which church you ought to go to or any of those things. I just try to be a good person. Well, Bible says he did decide, because in Acts 8 verse 1 it said Saul was consenting unto his death. So even if you don't do anything, it is a choice, even though it's not an active choice. It's something that's going to place you on a path. And this is what happened to Saul when he's on the road, on the path to Damascus. Acts 9 verse 1. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Bad choice. He's on the wrong team, isn't he? He's fighting for the wrong side, and I don't even know if he knows it. I think he thinks he's doing what God would have him to do, and I believe there's a lot of people that way that believe in they're just doing okay as far as God's concerned, but Paul realized right quickly he's on the wrong road. He's doing the wrong thing. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I've noticed he didn't say, oh, well, Lord, when I have a convenient season, I'll call you. He didn't say that. He said, what do you want me to do? Because the Lord's got it. He's listening now. He is also trembling and astonished, and he knows he's in trouble. He realizes he's on the wrong road. I wonder how many people do it. Have you ever done it? You ever been at the house in the chair one evening and just realize I'm really not living the way I live? Someone maybe comes to see you who's a member of the church, and you're not going to church and you're not serving the Lord, and when they knock on the door, you just feel that sense of I know I'm not living right. I'm not doing right. That's where he was at. He's trembled. He's astonished. What would you have me to do? In Acts 22, we read the rest of the story. When he goes to the city, Ananias says, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It was a good choice. It was a good choice. I'll tell you, he was deep down the wrong road and down the path his choices had made him, and he turned around. And that's a lesson for us all. No matter how deep you are in sin, no matter how far down the wrong path, a destructive path, or being the enemy of God, you can turn around and you can go down the right road. But you've got to make good choices. So this is what he did. No arguments. He got up and made a good choice. King Agrippa, Acts 26, 27 through 9. King Agrippa has asked the question, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am. Almost. How close are you to the path to heaven? Are you on the right path? Are you almost on the right path? You know, I think almost the worst place to be. Almost. Almost is just a place where you can just bounce along. Almost dedicated is not really dedicated. Almost love is not really love. Almost truth is just a lie. How close are you to the path you should be on? Are you almost there? That's no good. Almost heaven. He almost made it to heaven. Really good guy. He almost made it. Where is that? I'll tell you, it's hell. And your choices have brought you to where you are today. That's what's brought you there.